Let's go spirit hunting. I'm Susie Carrick, Chief Taster and Tailspinner from NZ Spirit Guide, and you're listening to Tales from the Top Shelf, where we meet the makers, explore the distilleries, and uncover the people, passions, and the stories behind New Zealand's world-class spirits. Kia ora and welcome to Tales from the Top Shelf. I'm Susie Carrick from the NZ Spirit Guide, and today we're heading to the beautiful wine village of Martinborough in the Wairarapa to catch up with Lynn's Tarring from the Winslow Distillery. Some listeners may know this distillery by its original name, Enceladus Distilling, a name borrowed from one of Saturn's icy moons. Today, the distillery is writing a new chapter under the Winslow Distillery banner after making the move from Wellington to Martinborough. We're going to talk about the story behind the names, the move over the Rimutakas, and the craft of making spirits from scratch, and what it takes to build a distinctive New Zealand distillery. Lynn, welcome to Tales on the Top Shelf.
Thanks for having me, Susie.
Wonderful. Now, before there was a distillery, what was the spark that first made you think, I want to make spirits? What's your background?
Well, the background for me is actually I grew up here in Martinborough on a winery, and that's where we're based now. But I always had an affinity to what spirits was, especially on the whiskey side of things. So I always joked that we should be using the barrels here to make whiskey, but it was never in the cards for us to go down that route. But just over time, it kept gnawing at me. So here we are.
Here you are. So what sort of made you go, right, I'm going to do this?
I had the idea, it was perfectly timed just before COVID to get into it, because I've been working with distillers in another function, in filtration, and I've been seeing the rise of New Zealand spirits again, and I just thought, you know, if I'm going to do this, this is the time to do it, because then at least when we start putting whiskey down and other things down, that I will actually be able to see the fruition come through, and the more it's put a legacy down for my kids and theirs if they want to continue it on.
Right. Okay. So what were those early days of Enceladus Distilling like, and what were you hoping to create when you first started?
So when we first started Enceladus, we took the idea of that we wanted to create something that could speak as a spirit in its own right, not just another mixer that was out in the market. And being an ex-winemaker, we thought, we can make this from scratch and we can really elevate what we want to do.
Right. Okay. So Enceladus is the name most people associate with space rather than spirits. Yeah. Where did that initial inspiration come from?
Well, when we were coming up with the name, Winslow, the winery wasn't available to us at the time. So we thought we couldn't use the name. So we were going through multiple iterations of names, searching it up, making sure we weren't going to cross over with anyone else. And just by happenstance, we had a documentary on in the background about NASA's mission up to Saturn a few years back. And they went past Enceladus and took samples of the ice coming off the moon. And when they did analysis of it, they said it smelled like alcohol. And we thought, that's perfect for us, because we know no one's going to have that name. And being a couple of space geeks, we thought that's perfect. So,
okay. So then now the business has evolved into the Winslow Distillery. Yeah. Tell us about that transition and sort of what the new name means to you.
Well, we always wanted to be Winslow. Winslow Wines, and we established back here in 85, and we wanted to continue the name on. Like I said, originally wasn't available to us, but just by happenstance and sort of the year one, two, it was coming available that we could move back here. So we thought, look, people had a hard enough time pronouncing Enceladus at the best of times. So we thought, hey, look, we're known as Winslow. It's a nice continuation of that. So we've reinvigorated the old winery. We've chucked out all the wine paraphernalia that's out there, and we've got the three pots sitting in the old winery. So we kept that name on. And that's, for me, it's really important because it keeps the legacy of this this place going.
Absolutely. Is it still an operational winery?
No, what happened was, unfortunately, the main block got wiped out with a viral infection a decade or so ago, and Dad had to rip out the main stock. So there was that point of, do we replant or do we, what else do we do with it? And we were coming online as a distillery, and I just said to him, hey, look, how about we take it over? And it was perfect size for us in terms of getting the stills in the back here. So it worked out nicely that way.
Okay, so is that what made you make the move from Wellington to Martinborough? Sort of what was the driving decision there, and how has it changed the business?
Well, there was a couple of economic factors going on there. I mean, one, we had to, initially when we got into it, we were in a big industrial facility down in Brewtown, Napaha, and commercial rent was just insane. I mean, we're not small in terms of the size of the pots we've got, but we're small in terms of current production. So it wasn't cost benefit for us to continue on there. But like I said, just by happenstance, their winery became available to us. So it was just a nice coincidental thing for us to move back home and reestablish ourselves here. And I think that the move's been fantastic. Now, continuing on Winslow, people have said, yeah, I started to recognize the old name. I mean, the shows I do, go, oh, didn't you used to make wine? And then we, you know, jump into the story. So it's quite a nice transition from that point.
Okay. Now, also, as you talk about that, Martinborough is known around the country for premium wine. Mm-hmm. How does being part of that beverage producing community influence what you do?
Well, again, you know, growing up here, so it's really interesting because Winslow was one of the first 13 wineries in Martinborough, and like I said, we were established back in 85. So coming back and reinvigorating ourselves into a wine industry, which has grown fantastically over the last few decades, has been a nice transition, and seeing how everyone else kind of reacts to us, that we can benefit into the community by the fact that we want to use wine barrels. And so it made sense to us to be one close to the source of those wine barrels. And it gives another life to that sort of industry.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Right. Now, one thing that did stand out to me, and I learned at Gindulgence recently, was that you're actually producing your own neutral spirit.
Yep.
Now, for listeners who may not know, what does the process involve, and why was it important for you to do it yourself rather than buying your neutral spirit in like most other distilleries?
Again, being a winemaker, it made no sense to me to bring it in. I mean, to do base distillation, you have to create a ferment, and you know, again, from grapes to wine, it was a natural thing for me to look at. But more importantly, is for me to control the base spirit. We do quite unique fermentation here, although we do it's called long run fermentation, so we use long horizontal tanks, dual yeast. We control the process. So we create the spirit, the base spirit that we want to then layer the flavors we want. Rather than bringing in neutral spirit and just putting botanicals in the pot or in the gin basket and running the still once, by the time it becomes gin, it has, or the liqueur for that matter, it's been run through the stills three times. So every time we're doing that, it's cleaning it up, softening it up, making it really palatable, and then we can layer those flavors we want.
Right. So what are you making your base spirit out of? Is it grain?
No. At the moment for the gin, we wanted to have a neutral base. So it's a nice, simple sugar wash. But like I said, we've designed the ferment with dual yeasts to come in at different points during its fermentation cycle to give different esters and different mouthfeel that works for us. Now, that's not going to work for everyone. And, you know, other people bring in grain, or they bring in neutral spirit from other sources. And that's what everyone else does. But what works for us is doing it this way.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you did touch on it. So does making your own neutral spirit give you that whole greater control over your final product and the characteristics in it?
Absolutely. I mean, we tried in the initial R&D stage, we did a whole raft of different ferments and bringing in neutral spirits. So we did neutral spirits, both whey-based and grain-based. We did our own grain ferments. We even did beer extraction because at the time, like I said, during COVID when we were doing the R&D, there was a lot of breweries that had a whole lot of beer going to waste. So we did that R&D to see if it would work. It didn't work for us. I know other places have used it, but then we just sort of settled on, simple sugar wash through our combination stills, and it works really well. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. I see. Now, for the distilling enthusiasts listening, what are some of the biggest challenges in producing a clean, high quality base spirit from scratch?
Well, obviously you've got the fermentation time. Controlling that whole process. I mean, it can be anywhere from 2 weeks to 4 weeks, depending on ambient temperatures and all those sort of factors. The other one is physical time to run the stills, because for that particular run, we use the same pot that we do for our gin. So it's taking a residence time. And so we're running the still multiple times, and we have to do batches. And so we're doing batches from ferment to low wines, we're doing low wines to high wines, and then high wines into gin. So it's time is the biggest factor for us, but we don't rush it. That's one of the key things for us, is we take our time with it, and I think it shows in the final product.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I know with your gins that they are very, very, very different, and you can tell that there's a lot of craft in it. Right now, let's talk about the gin. Just imagine we're sitting down for a virtual tasting. Mm-hmm. For someone new to the Winslow Distillery, where would you begin, and what makes the spirit the perfect introduction into your range?
Right. So at the moment we've got a core range of four. So we've got three gins and one liqueur. And I'll do the same thing that I would at any gindologist or tasting festivals. We'd start with Astra. And so Astra is our flagship. It's where we started. It's what we developed first. And it's our contemporary London dry. And I say contemporary because we focus on the citrus side of things more than just straight juniper. It's London dry by method. But like I said, it falls into the contemporary category because we booster up the citrus of the lemon, the orange and rosa to really create something different.
Right. Okay. And then now that you've started, tell us about your other three or two gins and liqueur.
Yeah, so the other two gins is what we've got, Halo and Eclipse. Halo is our Old Tom style gin that's derived directly from Astra. And what we do is when Astra comes off the still, it comes off in a high proof state. It comes off with between 80 and 82%. Mm-hmm. And then we blend a caramelized orange syrup into it. It softens it up, makes it more approachable as a sipping gin. And it's a real versatile gin it has a nice warming effect. It's really easy to drink. It's like I said, a sipping gin. It can be an alternative for some people for whiskey. We find that when people come in and they say, I only drink whiskey, I say, well, I'm a whiskey drinker as well. But then they'll usually gravitate towards that because that caramelization is there. And it's a really interesting drink on its own. And then we have Eclipse, which is our full body navy strength gin. And we do that seasonally. And that has a really unique profile because we incorporate some of the winemaking heritage into that. I explained the process of making the low and high wines. And when we come to the high wine stage, what we do is we take some of this old champagne or method traditionnel that we have from the winery days, which has been sitting on lees for 20 years. And because we're not a winery anymore, we can't sell it. So we incorporate it into the base. And 12% of the pot is made up of this method traditionnel. We extract the flavor out of that, and then we make that into gin. And when we go to the gin process, we come back to Astra, and we triple the botanical load that we have with Astra. We bumped it up, give it 10 days maceration, really take the effort into it, and it produces a really cracking navy strength.
The
great things when you do that, and why we do it seasonally, is that every time we make it, the champagne has got another year old, another 2 years old. So the profile changes ever so slightly. So every time we make a vintage Eclipse, it's going to be that much more complex.
Wow. Okay. That is different. And then finally, your liqueur.
Our liqueur, yeah, and that's the most unique thing we make. And I think if anyone's ever tried our Tiger Lily spice liqueur, they'll know where we're going with this. But the best way I like to describe it is like Christmas in a bottle.
Yes.
Again, has its roots with the winery. We used to make a Cabernet liqueur. And when the winery side of things shut down, my wife said, look, we need to try recreate this somehow. So we've taken the method, what we used to do for that, and we've made the liqueur with it. And we're in the second iteration of it now with the Solera. It's been aged for 18 months in Cab Sav barrels, and it's, yeah, it speaks for itself.
Yeah, it is outstanding. Tasted that at Gin Dulgence, and yeah, it really is a Christmas in a bottle, but it's not like every other Christmas gin.
No, the thing is, it's not a gin. That's the key thing for us as well. We've maintained that it should be a liqueur in its own right. So there's no juniper in it at all. It's the key botanicals you'll find with Christmas. I mean, you've got your cinnamons, nutmegs, that kind of thing. And it's really, really fun to see people try it because it plays with the nostalgia people have with Christmas. And we do joke that it should be released over in the UK or in Europe during Christmas because it does work with the, you know, winter style Christmas rather than our summers. But everyone's kind of got that same nostalgia that goes with Christmas.
Yeah, absolutely. Midwinter Christmas, eh?
Yeah, exactly. It's a perfect time of the moment.
Now, one of your standout products, Astra Gin, was named the NZ Spirit Guide's People's Choice Award winner at Gin Dulgence Auckland. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Now, awards judged by experts are wonderful, but there's something special about being chosen by the public. What did that recognition mean to you? And why do you think that Astra Gin connects so well with gin drinkers?
It was really great to receive that. It's been a long road getting to where we are. And I mean, Astra's picked up a couple of international awards. But to, like I said, to get something recognized by the public has been really nice to see. When we've been at Gin Dulgences and the other things, we do constantly get the, oh, that is different. You know, and it's a nice recognition in the end, the fact that we are on the right track to where we want to be. So it's, it was cool. It was really cool to get that.
Awesome. Now, as Winslow Distillery enters the next chapter, what are you most excited about for the future? You've talked about whiskey and rum. Is that something we're going to see at all?
It's definitely on the cards at the moment. So we've done some trial runs with our two big stills, and the new make that's coming off is fantastic. And it's very different again to where we've seen other new make in the country, which I think is great for our style. It's fruity and heavy and biscuity. It's going to be really interesting. So there's a couple of barrels aging away at the moment, and we're looking to ramp up that production later in the year and get more barrels aging. But yeah, it's definitely on the cards. And before you ask when it's coming out, I'm not rushing it. It's one of those things the whiskey will tell us when it's ready, not the other way around.
Absolutely. Are we going to see any new make on the market?
No. It was never something for us to do. I know other people have looked at doing it, but we're not in it to make new make for consuming. We make it there to make the whiskey.
Yeah, absolutely. So why waste the new make? When you put all that effort into fermenting it, why waste it on a new make when you really want to age it? Yep. Right, Linz, it's the end of the working week. You've locked up the distillery and it's finally time to relax. Which of your spirits are you pouring and how do you like to enjoy it?
It's really mood dependent for me, but I'll always gravitate towards Astra. It's just a nice, clean, robust gin, and I just love it with just a very simple, clean tonic. You know, 1-4 ratio, it works really well because it's slightly higher proof. It's at 45%. So it's a strong gin. But it's a really nice, refreshing way to have a G&T.
Absolutely. Sounds delicious. And also get into that Tiger Lily at this time of the year. Right, Lynn, thanks so much for joining me on Tales from the Top Shelf. It's been wonderful hearing about the journey from Encelludus Distilling to the Winslow Distillery, the move from Wellington to Martinborough, and the passion and craftsmanship that goes into creating your spirits. We wish you every success for the next chapter and look forward to following the journey and that whiskey coming out. Awesome. So thank you for sharing your story.
I really appreciate it.
Now, listeners, if today's conversation has sparked your curiosity, the Winslow Distillery has a fascinating range to explore, from their NZ Spirit Guides People Choice Award-winning Astra Gin through to the rest of their handcrafted spirits, including the Christmas in the Bottle. There's plenty to discover from this Martinborough-based producer. To explore the range and buy direct, head to nzspiritguide.com. And if you've tasted one of their spirits, jump onto nzspiritguide.com and leave a rating and review. We always love hearing what people are pouring, mixing, and enjoying around New Zealand. Until next time, support local, buy direct, drink responsibly, and keep your top shelf full of stories.
That's a wrap on this episode of Tales from the Top Shelf. We hope you've enjoyed this peek into the craft and creativity behind New Zealand's distilling scene. As always, sip slow, enjoy responsibly, and don't forget to support our incredible local spirit makers. I'm Susie from NZ Top Shelf. Catch you next time for more Behind the Bar stories.
This program was produced at and first aired on Coast Access Radio, supported by Erirangi Te Motu, New Zealand On Air. You can listen back to this and other programs on your favourite podcast platform.